Praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Just open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. Lord, it's every time we come. Lord, never fails. We rise up in the morning. You give us health and you give us strength. And Lord, you've placed that desire in our hearts to seek your word out, Father. And where can we go that we can feel your spirit and be amongst precious brothers and sisters? Lord, we're so thankful that you provided this little place for us, and then made the way that we could come and, Lord, hear from you. Lord, it's so wonderful privilege, and we never want to take it for granted. Take every opportunity we have, Father, that we can, Lord, in this late hour, you said, Lord, even more so as you see that day approaching. Lord, may your will be done, Father, in every phase of this service. Get the glory and honor and praise. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you happy this morning? Amen. You may be seated. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would, and I'd like to sing in our only blue books, page 170. Where could I go to him? You hear him calling this morning? Come closer. Amen. Oh, let's see. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Driving alone to face temptation sore. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Yeah.
Good we go. Amen. Page 133. Amen. When he reached down his hand for me. Amen. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. Never cease. My gift
my feet, hold my hand, grant with thee I may stand, for you reach down your hand for me. Amen. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Amen. So thankful He reached out for me, saints. Amen. Page 88. Turn with me in heaven of rest. Oh, I've anchored my soul. Hallelujah.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. So burdened with sin and distress. Till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the
Yeah. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all make me more like thee, dear Lord. Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee.
like thee, O God. Let it be. Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee.
Amen. How many have something on your heart, need for him, or request? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege to serve a living God. Lord, we know that you're here. You've promised you'd be where two or three are gathered together. And we can feel your presence as you walk amongst us. Lord, we know you search the reins, know the hearts. You know what we had on our hearts even before our hands went up. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would just reach down and individually, each person, Lord, in a special way, touch and meet the needs. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, may it just, Lord, even astound us, Father, to how precise and true that you meet those needs. But then, Lord, may we not hold it in our hearts as a little private blessing, Lord, but may we testify of your goodness to us. Proclaim to all, Lord, what you've done. We love you so much. Lord and Father's remainder of the service, Father, and your bringing of thy word, I pray that you would just bless it, multiply it to each heart, Lord, and may it meet the needs that we have here, that we may draw closer to you, Lord. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have a special song tonight. Grace, you got one. Ask you come. Thank you. first only believe, and ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Precious Lord, what a great and grand opportunity it is. Lord, together with saints of like precious faith around your precious word this morning. And Lord, to come in with a hungry heart, Lord, asking you to give us a portion to sustain us, Lord, and to help us to grow and to strengthen us, Lord, and to make us stronger in you. And Lord, as we read many scriptures, Lord, today, and we'll rehearse some of the things the prophet said, Lord, may it truly bring a strength to us, Lord, as we are soldiers for you in these last few moments of time, Lord. Give us the strength to stand, Lord, and to be a people to hold our head up, Lord, and to hold up your truth and your banner. And Lord, to be a people that can be a witness for you in this day, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and shall be. And Lord, we're just so appreciative for what you've done for us, and we ask your blessings upon your word. And Lord, we just commit ourselves unto thee for service. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Happy to be out again this morning.
Amen.
It's a beautiful day. Amen. As we, while you're still standing, if you would, let's turn back over and read again in 1 John, where we began Thursday evening. And I would just like to kind of keep along the same thought, but I understand why I left my notes out in the vestibule, and I just thank the Lord that he knows all things. Amen. We're going to just pray that through, it's a very deep subject, the things we'll talk about, but we're not teaching, we're preaching, and we're just going to go over a top of it. But Brother Branham said a lot of things and brought all this to us, and I pray that maybe it'll strike your heart and maybe cause you to go back and search and to reread and to see what he said, and it'll just strengthen your heart this morning, I pray. And so in 1 John, the first chapter and the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And may the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. I'd also like to turn back over into Colossians, if you want to follow along. And it was Colossians, the first chapter. Amen. And just read a portion of that. We'll just start there at the 15th verse in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And a very small word, but how the prophet illuminated that word to us through the messages that he brought, and we'll read some things. And if you would, let's just jump back over to Ephesians, the first chapter, and put these things in our heart. Amen. We'll just read that all of that again from the third verse down. Blessed be the God and Father of Ephesians 1, the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of his grace, and wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and to whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I want you to think how great our God is in those three little verses. Oh, how illuminated he ought to be in our hearts and in our lives. As we see the time in which we're living and realizing that God sent a prophet in this age that rolled back and took all that was laying here to show us that this was the revelation of God from the beginning to the end. And he said, if you read any verse and you can't see God in it, go back and read it again. Because this was God unfolding himself. And everything that's written in there was God displaying his attributes and showing forth who he was and revealing his great plan down through time of what it was going to be from the beginning to the end. And by God's grace, we've find ourselves being represented in that great plan. We've been predestinated according to his purpose and for his good pleasure. And as Brother Branham put it, we'll read this again in Christ is the Mystery of God, revealed July 28, 1963, paragraph 140. And Brother Branham began to speak. He said, notice God had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. And God in this great mystery secret, before the world began, he had a threefold purpose in it. And now what we want to go upon this morning is what is that threefold purpose? See, I believe with the help of God who is present, he will show it to us. And if he had a threefold purpose, we want to find out what this threefold purpose is. And the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. Now, there's been many people and many educated men down through time that can take many scriptures and many quotes and go so deep and explain. But God is a God of simplicity. And if we'll just take him at his word, and don't mix nothing with it, just take what he said and let God dip it into our hearts. He is his own interpreter. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't need nobody to mix anything in it. It happened just the way he said. And if we'll just humble our, in humility, just humble down before God and say, Lord, just open up the womb of my soul and let your precious word just saturate me so great that, Lord, every word is so simple that I would just hold on to what you say. I don't care how it's been explained. I don't care who saw it this way. I don't care who saw it that way. But, Lord, just let the Holy Spirit take the precious, pure, unadulterated word of God and just dip it down in my heart like I've never seen it before, with a reality and a purpose that why I'm sent here. And that it would cause an excitement in our hearts that as we read God's word and as we hear this great plan and we know about it, we've read about it, we've heard it rehearsed, but if we would just get into the quietness and say, Lord, am I seeing it the way you want me to see it in its fullness? And watch God to just illuminate and open it up to us in a greater manner. But I want you to think about that. So all that God did down through time, he was wanting to reveal himself to a people. And he had a great plan and a great purpose. But remember, this is in the message, who is this Melchizedek? As Brother Branham began to break it down just a little bit. And like I said, there's a lot of these things you could go a long ways with, but I'm just going to go across the top of it and just praying that it'll strengthen us. In paragraph 41, preached February 21st, 1965, who is this Melchizedek? He said, the Bible said there is one God, not three. But how they could, you can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You would never sell a Jew that, I'll tell you that. One who knows better, he knows there's only one God. Notice, like a sculptor, he hides with a mask over it. And that's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid, and it's supposed to be revealed in this age. And the Bible says they will be revealed in latter times. It's like a sculptor, and his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and it's a sevenfold mystery. And God promised that this day, the age of the Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing and we could see it. What a glorious thing. God and Morphe, mask in a pillar of fire. God and Morphe in a man called Jesus. God and Morphe in his church. God above us. God with us. And it's God in us, the condescending of God. Up there on the mountain, a holy one, no one could touch him. And he settled up on the mountain, and even animal touched that mountain had to die. But then God come down and changed his tent and come down and lived with us, became one of us, and we held him. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, handled with hands. God ate meat, God drank. God drank water, God slept, God cried. He was one of us, beautifully typed in the Bible. That was God above us. It was God with us, and now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, but the same person. God came down and became flesh and died to death in Christ so that he could clean a church in order to get into it for fellowship, because God loves to have fellowship. And I want you to think about that as we see today by God's grace, and because we've had a prophet that came, not because of my merits, not because of who I am, but because God took the time to send his mouthpiece and to break down this precious word, you can look back into these scriptures and we can see God manifested from Genesis to Revelation. We can see God unfolding himself, and it's been made real to us. And how it ought to create in us such an excitement. As we see what God did when it was God above us, when he was here on earth, we see what he done. And now today, as we see the last age closing out and knowing what God said that bride would be, how it ought to put such a cry in our hearts and an excitement in our hearts. Lord, what more do I need? What more can I give up to finish this work that you set before us? As our pastor was preaching on the literal life of Jesus Christ, as he wanted to express himself so greatly in a people so they could so see it. Brother Branham, think about it like this, and we'll go read something else. I'm going to read this off of the table, because I didn't print this till I got here, but this was in the Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, also preached July 28, 1963, in paragraph 374. He said, what was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come. He that was, he that is, and he that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days. And when he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church, Jesus said, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose, and there was the manifestation. And now today, he wants to get somebody that can so see it, that they can let the word. See, Jesus, so seeing it, was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation, God revealed. And I want you to think about that. He was so perfectly born for the day. And I want you to think that God predestinated you for this day. You have been perfectly born for the age in which you're living, and God saw you before there was ever a moon or star to be here, to be one in this last few moments of time that would be a representation exactly of every word, pure, unadulterated word that would make up that bride, that would be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh in these last few days. Think of that. Think of the opportunity and the grace that he has shown to you. Many people have heard the same thing. Many people read the same word. They read the same Bible. And they're in every denomination from, you name the denomination, they're in it. You bring them over to the message, there's people in it. But they're missing what God has revealed to individuals. But within that group, there are individuals that God is saying, this one's mine and that one's mine. And he's revealing the word to them, and there's something in them. They are reproducing exactly the word that was left for this day. Let's turn over to and read some examples here. And let's go to John, the 4th chapter, if you would. Very familiar scriptures. Amen. John, the 4th chapter. Just let these things sink into your heart. I pray it'll do you. Someone will be able to take something from it. Amen. It's God's inspired word. But just think about this. In John, the 4th chapter, we've read this many times. We've heard it read frontwards, backwards, about every way. But just think about this for a moment. This was Jesus here as he's beginning his ministry and speaking with the woman at the well. And we'll just start there about the 6th verse. And he says, "Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples was gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I want you to notice as that word was beginning to speak, she began to get that representation of predestination, Brother Branham called it, down on the inside. And she just was hearing these things and what he said. And then he told her this little bit about her life and all right then, and real quick. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. He said, But our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit. And that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. This little woman, how many other women in that time in this Samaria was in this same situation? Think of that. And the very God that created the heavens and the earth come down and veiled himself in a human body. And sat on a well and speaking to her. The very God that speaks to you and I every time we pick up this Bible and pick up these quotes. It's the same God that spoke to Moses and told him what to write onto those tablets. Took those tablets down to the children of Israel. I want you to think about how we read this, but just think about that. The same God that sat down and be underneath the oak tree with Abraham. Sat there and told Abraham what was going to happen. And now he's sitting here on a well. Think about how blessed this woman is to sit there. And as he's speaking to her and to talking to her, predestination, it was meant for her. And there he's sitting as he is explaining himself to her. Just think of what's starting to transpire in her heart at this moment. And then when she's able to say, I know that when the Messiah, which is called Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And I want you to think back to where you may have been, wherever you may, when the Word of God began to express and show you that God had sent a mouthpiece in this day. He had sent a prophet to speak to us. And to think how perfectly God was manifested through all of those prophets through that Old Testament. He sent them. He gave them his word and how perfectly it came to pass through every one of them. And now he's sitting here speaking to this woman, revealing himself, making himself known of why he had come to fulfill his purpose. And think about how real it was to her that she would run into the city, come see a man. What an excitement it caused in her heart. What a jubilation was living and now striking and just bubbling over. And oh, look where she stood. And I wonder if the Word of God still does that to us. When we come in and sit here, maybe it's me today. It's me rehearsing to you the Scriptures. It's me reading to you what God has spoke through a prophet in this last age. But did you notice what I said? It was God that spoke to us. God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto us by the prophets. In this last day has spoken to us by his Son. And look at what he's done for us. And we sit here every day. But do we realize that when we're sitting underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can we truly get ourselves into such a place that we can overlook a man? We can forget how a man can't pronounce his words right. Or can we get rid of that whole image and truly focus in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, speak to my heart. As these things are being rehearsed, yes, I've read the book, you've read the book, I've read the Bible, you've read the Bible, but God had a provided way for us to come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and have this word preached back to us and watch it bring the fruits that he said it would bring. And oh, what a joy it ought to put in our hearts to be able to know that I'm sitting here, the same God that was in that pillar of fire that hung over Brother Branham is the same God that's speaking to us today. And he's in the building with us right now. No matter what you have need of, that same God's not dead. He's alive and he'll meet your need today the same as he did then. Amen. It's got to see that he's a reality. He hid himself and he's unveiled it to a people. And oh, what a joy it ought to bring to our hearts to see him made alive and real again. Oh my, it gets so caught up in, and maybe we see this, they're wrong over here and they're wrong over there, and oh, why can't they just, but what about us as individuals? God is speaking to you. He was speaking to that woman. She didn't care who else was around that day. He was speaking to her and she was listening to everything he had to say. She was grabbing hold of it. It meant something to him, to her. Amen. Let's turn over here to Luke now, if you would, just back a few pages. Luke, I believe it's the 24th chapter. Amen. Amen. I probably don't do it justice, but saints, it's been burning in my heart as we, after Thursday and then being, took a little trip this weekend and had an opportunity to see some things and to talk to some folks and to see where God is allowing us to be and to see what he's doing. He wants to get somebody that can so see it. Think about it. Think of what Jesus, he was so perfectly born for the day. God didn't take a chance that somebody was just going to happen to decide they wanted to be a Christian in this day. They weren't just going to happen to decide they wanted to follow a message or just be happened they wanted to go to church and wear dresses and not cut their hair, but he so seen it that he predestinated a people to be conformed to the very image of his Son. That word would be so perfectly vindicated and lived through them in such a way that everything about them would be Jesus Christ made the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, it would take over their talking, their walking, their speech, everything, their thinking. Everything about them centered to the Word of God. And oh, how it ought to stir our hearts. It ought to rejuvenate us. We see what's happening in the world. We see the world in the chaos and know it's fixing to fall completely apart. And praise God it is, because we're looking for the day he's going to return and take us out of here. But we've got to be ready, and this is what was sent to prepare us. But we've got to get our vision turned and focused to the purpose for which we were sent, because so many don't even have a clue why they've been sent. They're just following a message. They want to be a big name. They want somebody to look up to them. Boy, he could really preach. He knows a lot about the prophet. That's all good. But it's not what he said he wanted. He said he had a people that would represent himself, and he would manifest himself through them. Amen. Here in Luke, the 24th chapter, we've read this many times, but just to think about this for just a moment. Amen. Let's see here. In Luke 24, and we'll start about the 13th verse. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these last days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And besides this, all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went up to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now I want you to think about that. Now here stands Jesus, and he simply could have said, I'm he, look at my hands, look at my feet. Don't you recognize me? Don't you know me? But I want you to watch as he was a prophet, mighty indeed. I want you to watch what he done. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat with meat with him, he took bread, and he brake it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now watch what he, back over there in that 27th verse, he said, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he took all of the written word that was written at that time, and he began to say, what, did he do this? Didn't it say he would be this? Didn't it say this would happen? Didn't it say this would happen? All down through the word, he took the written word at that time and began to show them and lay it out there for them. And then when they got to this verse, it says, and it came to pass that as he said, he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, as he opened up to us the scriptures? I want you to think about that. That same God that stood right there and reopened up the scriptures and showed them who he was is the same God that's sitting here tonight, this morning, bringing the Holy Spirit is still here, the same one revealing to your heart who he is and what he's going to do in your heart and your life. Not a different God. He's not a myth. He's not a legend. He's real, and he's here right now. And you can feel him as you hear this precious word. There's just something down on the inside. You can feel it. You can just churning. It's just something about it. Lord, what, that's me. I know that's me. I can feel it. It's not because the preacher. It's because of God's anointed word that's laying here being brought back to you. It's his word being spoke back to you through the predestinated way that he put in order. But God's the one that's going to cause the increase. God's the one that's going to make it come to pass in your heart and your life. I could stand up here all day and tell you need to do this. I could tell you need to wear your dresses. You need to, don't cut your hair. You men need to be men, and you women need to be wives. It's under submission to your husband. I can tell you all these things. But you let Jesus Christ once dip it in your heart. No one else will ever have to tell you again. It'll take a hold, and that word will bring your mortal body subject to God's precious word, because that's the way he put it in order, not because of some man trying to tell you and force you into moving what Jesus Christ wants. But he predestinated a people. Was they receive that word, they become that word. And it's not a have to push and a prod. But he predestinated that seed the same as he did the oak tree out there to reproduce that oak tree. It will bring forth after the seed of its kind that went into the ground. And oh, how it ought to just stir our hearts, saints, to realize that we are privileged and under the mercy and grace of God to sit here with that spark burning in our hearts. I don't care what the masses do. I don't care what the groups are doing. But Lord, as an individual before you, I see I've been called to your purpose. to the glory of your grace. Amen. I pray it's burning in our hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I've been a half hour. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. I just want you to think about this as in closing. We'll maybe pick up a little bit more this evening if it be the Lord's will and we're here. But in the message of trial preached April 27th, 1964, Brother Branham was speaking, and we'll just start about paragraph 214. He says, that's just like the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, not three gods, one person, the three attributes of God. Just like I am three persons. I am to my wife a husband. I am to my daughter sitting here, Daddy, and to my grandson sitting there, I'm Grandpa. And my wife only has claims on me as her husband. And my daughter here can't say husband because she's my child. And my grandson can't call me daddy, right? He has no claims on me as daddy. He might call me that, but it isn't so. He is my grandson. Yet I'm the same person. And it's God unveiling himself, bringing himself down so he can be. He was above us in a pillar of fire. And then he was manifested in his son, Jesus Christ, and now revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. Watch when he comes. You know what Son of Man means? Look in Ezekiel, the second chapter, and you'll find Ezekiel 2:1. Jehovah himself called Ezekiel the prophet, Son of Man. And he called all of the prophets Son of Man. Why then did Jesus call himself Son of Man? Because he had to come in the way that the prophets said he would come. Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15 said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me. And he come to reveal himself to the natural seed of Abraham as a Son of Man. And they called it the work of a devil. And so has the royal seed. This sounds harsh, but it's corrective and it's love. It's the royal seed today has done the same thing. Try to call it mental telepathy or some devil. It's the Son of Man, Christ. That was Christ in Ezekiel. It was Christ in Moses. It was Christ in David. It was Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was it? The Word being made manifest by these prophets. And today we can say, it was Jesus and William Branham that was manifesting the word for this day that we are reading from, that we're rehearsing. It wasn't just a man. It wasn't just a prophet. But it was God speaking to you. The very God that created the heavens and the earth sent this letter to you and I that we would be ready for a return, that when he would come, he would find us waiting, blameless, without spot or wrinkle in him, in love, waiting for the soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, may that be what's burning in our hearts this morning as we see the time approaching. Are we seeing the excitement that's in the air for individuals? Yes, the revival in the land, they're trying to bring it back through emotions. They're trying to bring excitement back into the church by pumping people up with music and doing all kinds of things. But there is a called out chosen people that down on the inside of them, there is a revival burning. They see the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're making their preparations to get ready to leave this old world. And how it ought to be just burning in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for ISAF, that I can see today that by your mercy and grace I've been called to a higher calling in Christ Jesus. And forget those things that are behind us, and let's press for the mark of that prize of the high calling, moving forward for what God's got for us. But oh, may it burn in our hearts. Amen. I pray you can take something from it. I pray it'll strengthen you, maybe cause you to go back and read some of those things. Strengthen yourself. Stir yourself up that God is speaking to you. And he gives the increase. He will give you the revelation. He will dip it into your heart. And you watch it bring this body subject. If you just have it intellectual, it'll never live. It'll never take hold. It'll never last. But you let God put it down on the inside one time, and you watch it take a hold. You don't have to tell women how to dress every little detail. God will take and put that in their heart, and you watch it work exactly the way God wanted it to be. You don't have to tell a man how he has to be the head of his home. You don't have to tell him how to run his home. God will direct him. If he gets filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you watch the Holy Spirit lead him, and you watch that home be in order. Oh, and you let a wife get a hold of that baptism. You don't have to tell her she's got to be under submission. You don't have to tell her she's taking authority. God will show her and she'll change that. It'll change automatically. It's no different Brother Branham said, how can you bobbed-haired women sit in the congregation and tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it wouldn't let it happen? We got to take that same word and apply it to our lives. Is there something in me that the Holy Ghost wouldn't allow, that I know that I'm continuing to allow? Then there's a reason there. I need some dying out, some crucifying of this old man, and yielding to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, take me greater into thy possession, and let me yield and surrender my all to you. Amen. I pray it's burning in your hearts. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you would. Thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. Amen. So thankful for what he's doing for us. Let's just sing that little chorus, I Love Him, before we dismiss. Amen.
I love him. Love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Brother Josh, would you come dismiss us?
Precious Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here this morning. Lord, it just burns in our heart, Lord, to hear thy word, and not only hear it, but Lord, let it apply it to our lives. Lord, there's so many things in there, Lord, we can take, Lord, and grow and climb higher in you. And Lord, it's only by your precious revelation, Lord, that any of us can move higher. Lord, we ask you to apply it to us this morning. Lord, let it be our greatest desire in this life is to serve you. Lord, we just appreciate you now, Lord, and let us come back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, keep each one of us safe on our journey home. Everything we do, every decision we will make, Lord, let it be your perfect will. Lord, we ask you to bless those that may be sick, Lord, and touch their bodies. Lord, heal their minds. Lord, just give them rest. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In thy precious name, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Sing it again. Amen.